Well, folks, take a look inside your Grace Notes there. You can follow along. Today we're talking about do unto others. So we're just a few days from now from celebrating Christmas Eve and having Christmas Eve services and celebrating Christmas Day, celebrating the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So we're all excited. Hopefully it's his birthday. We're going to celebrate. We're going to give gifts and hang out with family and friends. But we also need to remember to do unto others. And so I hope that in the spirit of doing unto others, you are finished with your Christmas shopping. Are you not? Yes, amen? Amen, yes, hallelujah. Nope, some of you are not. I'm not even going to ask the ones who are not to raise your hands because I don't want to shame you. I don't want people to look down upon you. But I will remind you, Amazon has free shipping for Amazon Prime members. You could do that. Or you could just go to the store and buy something. Good luck. Have a great time the next 4 days because it's going to be a little bit busy. But, you know, all about Christmas should be all about celebrations and joy. And I got to tell you, in the midst of all this stuff, we get all fired up and excited about things. There are some really cool things that your church is doing. And I thought we would pause as we move toward Christmas Eve this next week. Our service is at 5711. You guys know that. I say that all the time. But I want you to be mindful of some of the things we're continuing to do unto others, to make a difference in this world. So first one I want to lift up is that our Lee Summit campus up here, as I said earlier, December 26th, we're going to restart. Inner City Homeless Ministry in downtown Kansas City, we have people going down there to serve. I don't know about you, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that folks would spend part of their holidays, part of their time off, their vacation, their time away from work and school to actually go down and help those who are in need. That's a big deal. In a world that teaches us to be a little bit selfish sometimes, to give of yourself to the world, to give over to God your time, your resources, and your energy, especially when you really maybe need some time off, but to go down there and make a difference and help those who are in need, whether you're donating items, preparing the items, or actually going and serving, that's amazing. That is truly amazing that a church would continue to do that. A lot of people take those things off for the holidays. We don't. We just have folks continuing to make a difference. So I want to say this. Give to those in need. We should all give to those in need, right? We really should. We should be willing to give of our time, our resources, our energy to those who are in need. Now, let me read to you from Matthew 7, 9 through 12. It says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more willing is your Father in heaven to give you good gifts to those who ask him?" Now listen to this. "So in everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, for the kids, the teenagers, the college students in the room, this is your key scripture to get what you want for Christmas, okay? Would you like me to read it again? Let me read this to you. "Which of you, if your son asked for an Xbox, would give him a stone?" Right? How about this? Parents are like, "What? Did he just say that?" Or if he asks for a PlayStation 4, you'd give him a snake. I mean, come on, right, kids? Interpretation, right? That's scripture. Kids are sitting here going, "Yes." Now listen to this, though. At the very end, it says, "Do unto others as you have them do unto you." So what'd you get your parents for Christmas? Ooh. I don't have to do anything for them, do I? Aren't they just going to go buy it and slap my name on it? Yeah, that works till you're about 6 or 7, maybe. So you need to step up too, right? We all need to. Now, here's the great struggle of this. And I think for some of our teenagers and college students listening, you might feel as if you were in need because basically we're supposed to give to those who are in need, right? And we all think we're in need. We do. Every one of us at some point in time thinks we need something and we forget and we have absolutely no concept or realization of how blessed we are, that God has blessed us in magnificent ways. And yet we still chase after stuff. We still say we need things. In fact, there are some of us who probably think that we are in ourselves in need of a lot of stuff, a lot of help. You might see the church helping some folks out and you say, "Well, why are they helping them out? I need help." Do you really? Do you really? You know, there's a lot of folks out there who don't have a home. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from, and they don't have a job. There's some folks in great need out there. And so in our own lives, yes, sometimes we can feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we can be really frustrated and upset with how the world is working. But honestly, folks, are we in that great of a need that we are ourselves a mission project? Because a lot of folks who think they're in need don't then go help others because they think they need the help. No, we are on a mission for God to go out and serve those who are in need. We are in ministry to help those who are struggling and hurting. And so we ourselves are not a mission project. We shouldn't need anything because we have Jesus Christ in our life. And so our goal is to go out there and share the good news with others and help those who are in need. Can we do that? I think we can. I really do. The criteria for helping someone in need, in my opinion, is, first of all, you ask the Lord. You pray to the Lord and say, Lord, do they really need help? Because there's a lot of folks in this world who are trying to scam the system, trying to scam church, and they'll come in and they'll ask for stuff that they don't really need. So you have to pray, Lord, is this person in great need? Another one would be then talking to other people. Do you know somebody that's in need? Do you know somebody who really needs some help? And then go do something about it. Once you've prayed about it, talked about it, go do something. Don't just think about it. Don't just sit there. Go do something. Go bless somebody else. You know, when we do that, we actually are listening to the words of Jesus when he told us to help the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the prisoners, and those who are in great need of clothing. You notice I said prisoners a couple of times because I think that's one area where a lot of us struggle. We struggle to help those who are imprisoned. We do. Some of them are incarcerated for bad, terrible, awful things, but they still need the light of Christ in their life. Are we willing to go out there and help those who are truly in need? To be able to do that, if I'm going to go do that, if I'm going to go help somebody in need, I need to set an example to the church, to the body of Christ. I need to set an example to my family and my friends in the church by demonstrating, not just by words, but by deeds, how I'm going to make a difference in this world. The church has to set the example. Parents, you have to set the example for your teens and your kids. You have to show them and demonstrate what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Let me read to you from John 13:15. It says, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus is the example of service in this world, helping those who are in need, reaching out to people that are far from the gathered community of faithful followers. We have to be willing to go break those barriers down. So some of us got pretty inspired with our South Campus. Many of you know, this last year we started a South Campus. We have a second church. It's actually down in El Dorado Springs, about an hour and 20 minutes away. It's a bit of a drive. We have a South Campus pastor named Pastor Kevin. And in the midst of us starting this new congregation down there, which we launched in October, we asked a lot of questions of the people who used to go to that church. You know, who's in need? How can we bless this community? Where are the areas where we need to be in mission? Because up here, we've got missions pretty sewn up, right? We're doing all these different things. I'll keep talking about those in a few moments, but we are constantly out there helping those who are in need. For goodness sakes, we actually helped found Lee Summit Social Services many years ago because we needed a place where all the churches could pool their resources to truly help those who are in need. And so we asked around, and we had a really hard time finding out who was in need. Now, we know the poverty rate in El Dorado Springs, Missouri, is really high. Most of the kids in the elementary school, junior high, and senior high are on free or reduced lunches. Many families are sleeping at 2 to 3 families per house because they just don't have the jobs, they don't have the economy. I mean, it's just falling on hard times in southern Missouri. And so we kept asking around, is there a service agency? Who's helping? We looked at the other churches and what they were doing, and we really could not determine anything big. So then we finally asked a counselor and a teacher at the elementary school, how can we help? And they said, amen. We need coats, we need shoes, and we need books. Coats, shoes, and books for elementary kids. Well, that's pretty easy, right? I mean, we should be able to do that. So our South Campus and our North Campus, us and Lee Summit, decided to partner together and collect those three items. Pretty easy. So we collected over 100 coats already. Good job, Lee Summit. Nice job. You guys did a great job. 100 coats already, tons of shoes, and tons of books. And so this last week, we distributed what we had gathered together up here, and Pastor Kevin has gathered together just as many down there. And in January, when it really gets cold, we're going to redistribute some more coats to kids. And so as of right now, we have distributed through K through 2, so kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, every child received a book to take home and read. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but one of the great struggles that we found from the school system down there was that kids don't have books at home to read, to practice. And so why they asked us to do that was so they could send the book home with the kid, and they would actually have a book to read. So we actually were able to give every student, kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, a book to take home, and they all see it as a Christmas gift. They think it's the coolest thing. They bring their books to school. They want, during their reading time, they want to read their book because it's their book, and they get to take it home. That's awesome, right? Another one, coats. We've given out 36 coats to kids who were in great need. 36 coats to little kids, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third, fourth, and fifth. All those kids that needed a coat have already received one. There's a couple other kids that still need coats. We're still sending coats down there, and they're going to get them. That's awesome, right? That's a significant change in the life of someone who's in need. Now, here's the best one. So I have all these shoes, right? We gave away all these shoes down there. And one of the little girls down there wrote an essay before she actually received this. It says, Dear Mom, I see, this is what you get, paint a picture about Christmas. She says, I see us all laughing and happy with our whole family together. And we hope that our whole floor is filled with Christmas gifts. And that she says, I hope that I am wearing a new pair of boots. And it says, can I have a pair of boots for Christmas so I can go to my grandma's and help her feed her cows and her baby cows? And so that's awesome. And so that little girl came to school last week, and we had a pair of boots, and they fit perfectly. What's even better about this is that every child who received a pair of shoes, they were a perfect fit for that child, right? I truly believe that we are divine instruments of God's action here on this earth. And I believe that every one of those child needed a pair of shoes, and somehow, some way, you guys went out and bought the exact right pair of shoes for each one of those kids who got a pair of shoes. Now, that is God at work in this world, because his faithful followers went out and tried to do something to help somebody in need. That's absolutely amazing. When I hear that and I see that, I go, wow, we really are doing some good in this world and making a difference. And all we had to do was ask a question of, who's in need? How can we help? And once we learned all that, we jumped into action. Now, what's even better is that sometimes some of the best gifts don't come from adults, come from kids. 1 Timothy says, don't let anyone look down upon you because of you are young, but set an example for believers in speech and conduct, love, faith, and impurity. You know, our youth group goes and does missions all the time. They've been to Hillcrest Transitional Housing Ministry. They've been out there and helped. They actually went down to our South Campus and helped lead a Vacation Bible School this last year. They go on a mission trip every year. This is our youth. These are like junior high and senior high kids that are willing to give up their time, their resources, their energy, their passion to help those who are in need. Our youth director, Stephanie, is instilling great values in our teens to help those who are in need. Our confirmation class gets to do the same thing. They get to go serve and help those who are in need. They get to make a difference in this world because we believe that being a servant, being a faithful follower, means we have to serve those who are in need, and it can't just be for adults. It's got to be for our youth, our teens, our children. You know, people often ask, hey, can I take my kids down to Restart? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because we want them to see what's out there in the world, who's in need, and how we can make an impact. Some parents tried to hide and shelter their kids from that. Do not. Let your kids see who is in need. Philippians 3 says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. You know, a few years ago, I got the opportunity to go out and watch a few of you guys serve those who are in need. Some of you are actually here today. Some of you are not, that went out and handed out $50 bills to people. Now, you guys probably heard of Secret Santa, yes? A few years ago, we had three wise guys that decided to go out and give away some gifts. They went to Aldi's, they went to Walmart, they went to a few other places, and they just pooled some money together, and they just gave it away, and the looks on people's faces was just priceless. They could not believe someone would just walk up to them and hand them money during the Christmas season. These are folks that were just out shopping for Christmas dinners and stuff like that. And we just were watching how God would lead us to the right person, and tears would come to their eyes immediately as you handed them money because you knew that person was in great need. They needed that help. And for some reason, somehow, some way, a couple guys in our congregation just went out and made a difference. None of us are prevented from helping those who are in need. We're not. It's only your ability to imagine and to dream and to think about those who are in need around you. Who really needs a blessing? So I finally say this to you. that if you're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus, you need to be an example to the world. You know, one of the great struggles of the church today, in my opinion, is how the world views us. Because sometimes when they look into the church, they see churches that are always have their hand out asking for something, asking for a mission project, asking for a fundraiser. You notice we don't do a lot of fundraisers around here, right? You notice that? That's a thing for me. I don't think churches should do a lot of fundraisers. I think if our congregation, through their tithes, their gifts, and their offering, cannot support the congregation, what are we doing? Why are we gathering together? So we don't do a lot of fundraisers. Some of them we do for fun, but we don't do a lot of fundraisers. I don't think you should have to do that. And if we're going to do those, they're going to be for a mission project, to help those who are in need, to help. I mean, our UMW does a bake sale every year for missions, right? Our youth group's done several different fundraisers over the years to do mission work, to serve those who are in need. That is who we are as a congregation. That is who we are as a church. That is who you are. That is who we all are. 1 Peter 2 says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God." That they may see our good deeds and glorify God. You know, I mentioned prisoners a little bit ago. Did you know the congregation helps out prisoners every now and then? You probably didn't know this, did you? One of our pastors, not Rocky or me, has a deep passion for helping prisoners. Yeah, his name's Hubert. Imagine that. We helped out a prisoner this last year who everyone else had written off. A guy that he was connected to through family and friends. We helped him out. Just a little bit, not a lot, but helped him out just enough to get him through his tough time. Just enough to get him back out and back in the right direction. Right? That's who we're called to be. That's what we're supposed to do. And I will tell you, this stuff happens all the time around here. Not with just your pastors, but our congregation. There are so many stories that I hear of people in our congregation helping those in need, serving the poor, going out and making a difference, visiting people, helping everyone around them, and shining the light of Christ, because that is who we're called to be. We are called to shine that light of Christ and to do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. As we think about the next few days, there are some people right now in our lives we need to connect with. They might be family, might be friends, might be neighbors down the street from us who need to know the love of Jesus Christ. They need to know that we care about them and that our church is more than just a building, a campus, a couple campuses, and some pastors and some folks. It's a place where lives can be transformed in amazing and significant ways, and that we make sure then we're not focused on us, because it's not about us. It's about those who are far from God. It is about those who are in need. And it's about the body of Christ, the church, being servants for the world, going out and serving people and shining that light. I believe in the power of worshiping together. I believe in the power of the body of Christ gathering together every week and being sent out into the world to make a difference. We gather together in a few days for Christmas Eve services. We'll have a lot of visitors. We'll have a lot of folks. We're going to have a lot of people here. Pray that their lives will be significantly impacted and transformed by the words and deeds of your church leadership. That the people that would come here would know a God who cares about them, loves them, and does not judge them for all the stuff they've done in the past. We're concerned about where they're going. We are deeply concerned about where they're going to end up. And so, friends, I encourage you to invite. Because someone invited you, someone brought you, someone brought your parents, someone brought your grandparents, somewhere along your chain of life, someone invited. Imagine what you could do in the life of a family, generationally, down the line, if you just invite someone. Because when it says, do unto others, you have them do unto you, if I didn't know Christ, I would want somebody to invite me, wouldn't I? You'd want to be invited. We'd all want somebody to invite us to a church that's a little bit different than other churches, right? Little bit different, the way we take on the world. Invite, friends, and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help each and every one of us be a true servant to the world. Give us the courage, the strength, and the passion to go make a difference, to help those who are in need, to move beyond our worries and our fears, focusing on our own needs, but actually looking out into the world and seeing with your eyes those who are truly in need. We thank you for the gift of your Son in our lives. We'd ask you to help all of us move forward together in our faith. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.